Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
How do you preserve a Boston community so its people can survive there? We're returning to a patch of land that we talked about on yesterday's show, the downtown neighborhood built on landfill that was once called Little Syria. Now it's called Chinatown. That neighborhood's been largely Chinese since the late 1800s, but the chefs, servers, and other working-class folks who make up Chinatown, many can't afford to live there anymore. So there's a movement afoot to try and preserve some of the oldest historic buildings in the neighborhood and turn them into affordable housing. Here to tell us more about that work is longtime community activist Suzanne Lee. Suzanne, welcome.
Glad to be here.
You've been in Chinatown for three generations, going back to the early 1900s. What has happened in the last 5, 10, 15 years that got us to this point of sky-high rent prices and gentrification?
Well, one correction is not the last 10, 15 years. It's longer than that.
Okay.
We've been doing this fight since more than 40 years mm-hmm. when we first noticed that the land area in Chinatown is so desirable when urban renewal came in that and they want to revitalize downtown. And anything that's close to downtown become more valuable. So you have the hospital, Tufts Medical Center, want to expand. And you have the expressway and the Mass Turnpike wants to bring people in from the suburbs to grow the economy. So Chinatown is right in the middle of that.
And so, there was housing where the
yes.
turnpike goes through. There were people living there up until a few decades ago.
My aunt and my father live in a house on where is now the Mass Turnpike. Hmm. Yes. So they were forced to move out in the 50s, early 50s, and they landed on Blue Hill Ave, where I grew up.
That's right, in Dorchester.
Roxbury, actually. It's right by Franklin Park, Seaford
okay.
Street.
So a lot of people had to leave Chinatown, and mm-hmm. a lot of people hung on. There's still, I think, about 50% of the population that we know is, in the area we know as Chinatown, is still Chinese. Some might think it would be more than that. Amid all these forces, rising rents, becoming harder and harder to find a place to live, you are part of an initiative to form a community land trust, the Chinatown Community Land Trust. What is that about?
Well, we first learned about the land trust idea from the Dudley Street Neighborhood Initiative.
Sure.
That Roxbury, 20, 30 years ago, was also going through, but you know, housing crisis, not as severe as today, but they have a lot of empty land.
Right.
And so the neighborhood folks form a land trust and learn from other cities that if we take the land out of speculation and we collectively owns it, then it's not going to rise as much as it is when it is on the marketplace. So if land trusts own the land and allow the housing on top of it to be more affordable, then more working families can afford to stay. So that's the basic concept of land trust, is we as a community collectively own the land.
So Dudley Square Neighborhood Initiative, I believe back in the 70s,
yes.
was able to acquire, I think now it's more than 200 units of housing.
They built them, yes.
That was a very different housing market than
yes.
what you're dealing with
Correct.
In Chinatown in
so
2023.
When we first, exactly. So when we first learned about it, everybody was looking at it and said, okay, we're talking about a different area. The land is more valuable. I said, well, we have to do something. Because right. Boston Chinatown is not the only city. We're not the only city going through this. San Francisco, New York, Chicago, everywhere.
Everywhere
LA.
You go.
Yes.
Even other countries.
Yes. So this concept of land trusts mm-hmm. has really taken hold, including that we're able to have really positive dialogue with the city. and the state and looking at land trust as one mean to preserve community for people who needs to live in area that that can service them. And Chinatown is one of those areas.
There's this really fascinating area of Chinatown. Most people, I think, when they think of Boston's Chinatown, think of the commercial district and the restaurants.
All the restaurants, yes.
But if you cross Neyland Street, which goes down to South Station, you get into this whole residential area. It's just all residential. And Tufts has a huge presence. and then on Oak Street, Johnny Court and Oak Street, there's these two city blocks with all of these buildings that date back more than 100 years. Small brick buildings. They were once populated by Syrian and Lebanese immigrants. And it was on Oak Street that your community land trust was able to purchase a triple-decker. I interviewed Lydia Lowe, and I want to hear from her about the huge price you all had to pay to acquire this property.
It was $1.7 million, and we had to really, like, hold our nose, you know, when we paid that. But we knew that we had to acquire. We had to show that this was possible because nobody believed us.
And you were able to show Suzanne Lee that it was possible in this day and age, in this crazy housing market, to buy one of these properties.
Yes. So that was the first one. And the reason it went so high is because it was bought by a company and turned it into short-term housing.
Mm, okay.
So that's
this is another issue here.
Yes.
Airbnb.
So of course they don't want to give that up.
Right.
Right? And it was through a lot of political and other means that we're able to negotiate and return that building to the community. And one of the reasons why there's only a few blocks left with that kind of housing, when you look at Bay Village and Beacon Hill, similar type. Of course, they look nicer.
It's a little village,
That's because Bay Village and Beacon Hill has zoning that protects them.
Okay.
But Chinatown was never zoned as a residential area. Like you were saying, people only see it as commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the residential side go all the way down to towards the Ing Block.
Right. It used to go much further.
Much further. And that whole area used to call New York Street because all the housing down there, it looks like the tenements in New York. And so because the whole area was not protected by zoning, you have all these development that happens. And they took half of the housing to build the expressway and the Mass Turnpike and then allowed the hospital to keep buying up row houses like that. So those used to be really affordable units to raise a family.
Very humble, small places, under 1,000 square feet.
But it's like a village. It used to be like a village. You know, people would sit outside in the stoop and they would have communication with each other and the kids would play in the street.
Yeah.
All that is gone.
That's right. That's right. So I want to go back because this 29 Oak Street, I think it's a fascinating story. The Community Land Trust back around 2015 wanted to purchase the building for under $1 million. An Airbnb investor comes in and offers $1.3 million, so half a million more than what you thought was a fair market rate. Then the city comes in. This gentleman is operating an Airbnb, among many others, in this part of Chinatown, assuming he's extracting the greatest possible rent per night from this residential property. But then the city says, you can no longer do that, Airbnb investor. You have to live in the property if you're going to rent it out as an Airbnb. So then the owner decided that it wasn't really in his interest to keep it, goes back on the market, and that's where the CLT comes back and says,
we'll take it. With a lot of coalition to push the city to change policies that is no longer as profitable for people to just come in and buy in cash.
Yeah.
We can't do anything just buy in cash,
right?
But they can. They come in cash and put it at the table. What owner would not want to sell with no hassle, nothing? You know, you just get $1 million cash.
That's right. So was this a real success story of City of Boston housing policy making a real difference on the streets of Chinatown?
Really, it show other communities and other cities that when we have good partner in government with community and hear the working people's voices, then we can really put our heads together and try to solve this problem. It's not going to solve everything, but it's one mean. One mean to do it.
So this makes a huge difference for the people who live there.
Yes.
Keep in mind, there's only three units in this one building. I know the CLT, the Chinatown CLT, has acquired another property as well. But I want to hear real quick from one of the people. This is Eddie Hickey. He happens to be an audio and producer at GBH. And he happened to be one of your residents, and I interviewed him. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Realistically, I would have either rented for the rest of my life or left the city. Those are kind of the two options. I don't think I'm alone in that. I have a lot of friends that are, that's kind of where they're at. They're like, do I leave or do I keep renting?
So, you know, this is an interesting point for a couple of reasons. One is that Hickey is white.
Yes.
So when I think of the Chinatown CLT, I don't think of white people coming in and buying up these properties. But
yes.
There are some restrictions in terms of what you can and can't do.
Well, anytime you work with the city and your financing includes government funding, you cannot say only to certain people. But as long as you qualify in terms of your economic situation, yes, you are in the mix. So we have another building that four units, that three of them is already closed.
Mm-hmm.
We signed we're waiting for one more.
And so now it's seven units total,
yes,
under the Chinatown Community Land Trust.
Right.
I want to ask you this. Because these properties are so extremely expensive, as opposed to the folks who were doing it in Roxbury 30, 40 years ago when the city mm-hmm. was giving them these properties
right.
and there was eminent domain happening. This is like situation we're dealing in. Mm-hmm. Is this model scalable, or is it going to be limited to just two or three units that the land trust is going to be able to own?
Well, we never know until we try, right? Nobody said that we could do this before either. So I think that we have a shot. And like I said, it's not going to solve everything, but it does persuade other investors not to come in and to buy up all the building and tear it down and build high rises. That's another thing that we wanted to prevent it from happening, that we want to keep the neighborhood that historical feel and cultural feel for a long time. So by us owning just a few here and there, it stops other investors from coming into tearing the whole place down. They can't.
Yeah. You know, so much of this is about culture and whether a historic neighborhood is able to survive these tremendous forces of capitalism mm-hmm. and gentrification. And property by property, it seems like you're trying to get Chinatown to that point. Do you feel optimistic that in 20, 30 years from now, when we have that same conversation, that Chinatown will still be a working class immigrant neighborhood in the heart of Boston?
Well, we're trying our hardest to make sure that Chinatown is going to be there for the people who needs it, mainly immigrant working class families. We have number of affordable big building housing, affordable
right.
housing.
Yep.
So in combination of turning row houses into units that they can own. So it's like I said, it's not one size fits all, but it's combinations of different things. And I feel like we have a shot of all the Chinatowns in across the country that we have the best shot right now to preserving Chinatown.
And there's a lot more going on in Chinatown, not just on the housing front.
Mm-hmm.
There's this effort to introduce a microgrid in Chinatown so that if the power goes out during a natural disaster,
yes.
you'll be able to provide that locally.
Yes.
What's happening with that?
Well, that's also part of the our land trust project, that Chelsea and Chinatown are the only two communities that have gotten a grant to pilot. Is this doable? So we have a lot of big buildings and within our geographic area sign up to want to try this, because Chinatown is in the area where we have big storm, which is happening more frequently now.
That's right.
That we are in the front line of getting hit. And so this whole idea is really looking at the future. And that's another piece that can help sustain our community when we have all these things putting together. So land trust is not just buying land mm-hmm. and serving the housing, but also figuring out a way how can we collectively move things forward as a community. So it's from land to microgrid to pushing the city to recognize that as the cultural historical district.
Which has yet to happen.
Right.
It's kind of hard to believe that we've gotten so far and Chinatown doesn't have that recognition.
Yeah.
What kind of unique social services and support are available in China? This is an active, organized community. Why does it matter that people are able to live there?
Well, like I said, you know, some of us have generations going back, have generation connection to Chinatown. Even though a lot of people were forced to move out or now they choose to live outside of Chinatown, but everybody still wants to come back. That Chinatown is the hub
yeah.
of social, cultural, and social service for right. people who need it. You have the language and you have the food
mm-hmm.
and other.
You sure do.
We sure do. And just that connection that you don't lose that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're here second or third generation. And so we wanted to, those of us who feel like this is really, really important. And then we have a lot of supporters and allies, not just Chinese, to feel like, yeah, what kind of city do we want? Is it to allow other historical groups to continue to thrive? And it's a plus for the city when you have this kind of enclave that other people want to, because they don't have it in their city.
That's right.
So when they come here, they say, oh, this is a good place to go visit.
Yeah.
So it's a plus for the city too. So putting all that together, that we have a shot of preserving Chinatown for generation.
Well, Suzanne Lee, community activist, long time, for decades, you've been organizing in Chinatown, and for generations, you have roots here. Thank you so much for being here on Radio Boston today.
Thank you.